This is Sheila Cagill, and it's Communicate Influence. When COVID-19 spread throughout the world, a lot of businesses, and in particular bricks and mortar retailers, were impacted immediately because they had no online presence. Even today, weeks after the epidemic first started, many businesses are struggling to get online or develop a growing online presence. In this episode, Kevin McCall, founder of Podmotion.co, a podcast creation and promotion agency, describes the options businesses have for e-commerce websites. Kevin explains the pros and cons of various options, as well as how to select a developer to create your e-commerce site. In next week's show, Fernando Angulo from SEMrush will explain how a new e-commerce site owner can market their site to quickly acquire more traffic. Thanks for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps new listeners find the show. And you can also sign up for our newsletter at communicateinfluence.com.
This episode of the Communicate Influence podcast is brought to you by Podmotion.co. Podmotion is a new podcast creation and promotional agency launching very soon. Go to podmotion.co for details. That's podmotion.co for details.
Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks.
I'm good. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. So, Kevin, since you appeared not too long ago on the show talking about the best platforms and tools for remote working, what have you been up to?
Oh, recently I've been working on a project for a sports training company, a coaching company here in Toronto. They wanted to sell all of their training packages online. So before the project, they were doing everything manually. They were taking credit card payments on their cell phones. They were doing everything by email. And they were having a really hard time scaling that as they grew. It became more and more difficult to manage that process. So they needed some direction and some assistance setting up a website. So I worked with them to understand how they sold their products. And they group things into packages. So there's some real sort of unique constraints to the way that they needed their website to work. And I worked with them and set up a website and put all of their scheduling and sales activities online and saved them a huge amount of time every week in terms of processing payments. And I think in their first week, they did about $10,000 worth of payments through their website.
Wow, that is fantastic. Yeah, I was going to say that sounds quite cumbersome, processing everything through your phone and various credit card payment systems.
Yeah, I think they said it saved them between 10 to 15 hours a week in terms of actually being able to just do everything automatically through the website.
Well, that's amazing. What's the name of the website in case listeners want to check it out?
They are the Goalie Training Institute is the name of the business, and it's goalietraininginstitute.ca.
Mm-hmm.
I also set up goalie.training, which is one of the new top-level domains, but it's not very common, but that takes you to the website. They had a challenge fitting goalietraininginstitute.ca on some of their merchandise, so we came up with a interesting way of solving that problem.
Oh. And what, they sell hockey equipment, do they? Goalie hockey equipment?
It's actually training services. So they're elite goalie coaching here mm-hmm. in Toronto. And they work with a lot of young goalies and goalies sort of coming up into the OHL and the U.S. college system.
Yeah. Oh, well, that will be really needed, won't it? Especially if young people haven't been in practice this year with the pandemic. Hopefully they'll be in the autumn this year. Yeah. That segues really nicely into what we're going to talk about today, setting up an e-commerce store, which has really become a priority for so many businesses who discovered at the start of the pandemic, particularly bricks and mortar businesses. At the start of the pandemic, they realized they were effectively without sales and, you know, couldn't perform their basic business functions. And, you know, the massive loss of income we've seen here in Toronto, businesses have gone under. So now for businesses globally, setting up an e-commerce store is a priority. Let's talk about some of the basics and what people need to look at to get that up and running so they're prepared when there's, say, I don't know, another event, another pandemic, which people say will happen. What do people need to look at to get, especially bricks and mortar, to get their store online?
Yeah, it's been quite a shift and a very fast shift. I mean, obviously, e-commerce has been around for many, many years, but you know, a lot of smaller stores have never made that jump to go online. And you know, the ones that had sort of gotten good at it were, you know, unfortunately ready for a pandemic, and they were able to keep doing business. And I know, you know, we see Amazon as you know, they were just overwhelmed with orders. And we also see, you know, a company like Shopify, which does e-commerce solutions, just their you know, market reach and their stock have done really well since the pandemic. And they're just, you know, some really great solutions. And to answer your question, when you're doing an e-commerce site for a bricks and mortar store, one of the big challenges is going to be integrating the site with your inventory, your physical inventory that you maintain in the store, or it could be in a distribution or shipping center. And so you really have to look at what kind of solutions are out there that work with your existing inventory management or point of sale systems. And possibly even look at switching to a system that works well with an online solution, because some of the older systems, which, you know, stores may have been using for many, many years, they may not be ready to go online as fast as people want to, and it may hold them back from actually getting online. Or there may be restrictions where it's an older web technology which isn't, you know, suitable for people using on mobile phones, or it's harder to access from mobile phones. So that's one of the biggest concerns with the brick and mortar retailers and wanting to go online. And fortunately, there's lots of solutions out there, and it's pretty easy to find one that, you know, would fit in most situations.
So, I mean, the two obvious ones that you, well, one of them anyway, that you touched on there was Amazon. And the one that springs to mind for pretty well everyone in the world must be Shopify. I think that's the only one that I know of, and Amazon. Can you compare those two options for businesses? Would they work for local businesses? What kind of pros and cons are there?
Yeah, I think that's the other major consideration for bricks and mortar retailers, is how are you positioning your products and your services, assuming it's a product store and there's inventory, or let's stick with products for this scenario. Do you want to compete in a marketplace like Amazon, or do you want your store to be a bit of a destination, in which case a platform like Shopify or some of the other options are more likely to work? The challenge with Amazon is, you know, you can fairly quickly, with very little setup, get your products into the Amazon marketplace. But the big challenge is you're competing now with every other retailer in that marketplace, potentially selling the same products, and potentially even Amazon themselves. And we've seen that in a lot of different places, where there may be a retailer selling a particular product on Amazon, and then they find out over time that, you know, this segment has grown and Amazon themselves are interested in it, and they've developed their own private label brand products to compete, and it really takes away from the sales that the merchants can do within Amazon. When you look at a solution like Shopify, your store is not a marketplace. So you're not sharing the space on somebody's screen with another retailer selling different products, or even Shopify themselves. They don't sell anything, so there's no competition there. What happens with Shopify or other solutions that are not marketplaces is somebody has to find that store, and once they're on that website, they can see products that are available in that store, just like, you know, walking into a physical store. It's sort of the, you know, the physical difference could be maybe like going through a farmer's market or going to a bakery. You're in the farmer's market, everybody there selling the same thing is competing for your dollar. If you walk into a bakery, they sort of have a captive audience while you're there, and they can sell to you. And so you really, there's a big trade-off. It's much easier to get much faster to get into Amazon and get your products listed, but the competition is much greater, and the challenges there's obviously challenges that come with that.
And I would imagine if you're a smaller business and you're selling, for example, slightly more expensive clothing or higher end jewelry, looking at the Amazon solution isn't really going to work, is it? Because, you know, there'll be people who will really undercut your price.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If there's any sort of premium product, or if you're trying to differentiate on your service as a seller, these are things that are really hard to do in Amazon, because, you know, while people may search for products based on customer feedback, and if you build up a solid customer feedback score, you might do well. Ultimately, a lot of people will make their decision based on cost and based on, you know, whether shipping is free if they're an Amazon Prime member. And you know, you really have to think about selling your products in a much different way. If they come to your Shopify store or your own website, you can provide, or you can try and differentiate the service. You can provide ways of them communicating with you directly. You can reach out to them through email lists and things like that. And these options are available if you're in the Amazon marketplace. There's really no way, very little way for people to interact with the merchants other than going through a complaint process or a refund process.
Yeah, I've noticed that with Amazon when things have been late. You have to, it's kind of quite a few clicks to be able to actually send a message to a merchant. And I think the other thing with Amazon, I mean, I'm not sure if this is true, but I kind of wonder if there's like an issue of trust with the buying purchase, because, or the buying process, I should say, because, you know, it wasn't too long ago where people were charging an absolute fortune for hand sanitizer and toilet roll or toilet paper on Amazon. And you always wonder if, you know, the price is good, is it bad, is it reasonable, that kind of thing. So, I mean, do you think that Amazon's got a bit of a reputation now? Or do you think it's still a good place to shop?
I mean, it is a marketplace. So you're basically able to price things at what the marketplace will bear. So if there's very few places selling sanitizer and you feel that you want to try and maximize your short-term profit, you can certainly do that. I recall hearing that Amazon was trying to rein that in a bit, but I don't know how much control they have other than starting to delist merchants and products. So I don't know if that's, you know, something that is an ongoing issue, but it's certainly just with the model, with the marketplace model, you certainly run into that. If there's a, you know, I was looking to buy coffee filters recently, and for some reason there was a shortage of them. And all of a sudden, you know, the place to buy them is on Amazon, and it's two or three times the price that I would normally pay. And that's, you know, completely acceptable in an open marketplace kind of model.
And for people who decide, well, you know, I need my own digital marketplace, I have to get set up quickly. One of the issues with Shopify is that the price could increase quite a bit, depending on what features you have or how many transactions, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's, you know, the basic Shopify account starts at about $30 a month, but it's pretty limited in terms of the number of employees that can use it and the number of locations. So if you're a physical retailer, if you've got one location and there's only a couple people that would be using it, you might be able to get by, but really it's very unlikely that you'd be able to get by on the basic Shopify account. The next one up is $80 a month. So there's a huge jump. And that just brings you from 2 to 5 employee accounts. And going beyond that is it just goes up very quickly. So that's really where the costs come in. But having said that, the platform delivers a lot of value, because It's very easy to set up your store. It's very easy to set up credit card processing. The credit card processing fees are in line with what any of the other credit card processors will charge. They're not charging a premium rate for that. And then there's also a marketplace within Shopify for adding on features to your store. And there's a developer network where they develop apps. So there's like an app store for Shopify, and there's a lot of apps and themes and things that you can add, which obviously, a lot of those come at a cost. But you can customize and sort of add functionality to your store through that network of developers and apps.
That sounds pretty good then. So, basically you're getting a platform that does perform really well. It's secure. It gives you all the features that you would expect, presumably inventory management as well. And, you have to make sure that you price things carefully and you're able to cover that cost. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, they do also have within the last year, this was before, the pandemic impact hit. They did get into their own distribution network. It is becoming a much more competitive offering to Amazon, because they can do your inventory management and they can do the shipping and returns and manage that whole process. Now, for somebody who already has a physical location, that might not be a requirement, but for somebody setting up a new e-commerce business and they don't want to actually, have a location where they're managing their own inventory and shipping, it's a really good option.
Now, some businesses used to think that, it was a luxury selling online or a luxury having a website. In your view, given what's happened in, the first half of this year, is having online e-commerce still a luxury or is it essential for businesses these days?
Well, you look at the businesses that are, even through sort of the initial opening up stages, there is a huge component of needing an online presence, because right now, even though we can start to go out and purchase things from stores, if a store has an ability for you to place an order online and inform you when the order is ready for pickup, I find I'm going to be much more willing to do that right now, because then I don't have to go and stand in line and wait for that, wait for the opportunity to go into the store and make my purchases. And it's a lot safer. So having that infrastructure already allows these stores to move very quickly into this sort of lockdown operation. Without that, I think a lot of these stores would just stay closed, because there's really no safe way for them to interact with their customers. Recently, I needed something from Home Depot. And, I saw that they had a curbside pickup service, and you can submit your order and they send it to a store and the store contacts you when they're ready. And I understand that they're really busy, but the whole process was, quite a nightmare, from placing an order to, trying to find out the status of the order and ultimately trying to cancel it. And I had to actually, try to contact somebody at one of the physical stores in order to make any changes or cancel the order. And I ended up just waiting until the stores were open again and going and getting it. So even though they were online, they hadn't developed the capabilities that they needed to fully switch these processes, updating your order, canceling your order, putting those kind of processes online as well.
So, what marketers describe as the customer journey, it certainly wasn't smooth in that instance.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So an important point there, you need to track all the steps involved in the follow-up and make sure that everything flows smoothly for the customer. Everything is very easy, even if they decide they don't want something immediately after the purchase. Those things are important.
Absolutely. One thing that was really interesting I saw in the Shopify store, the app store, was somebody had developed a curbside pickup app. So there's a way to add that to your store to give you that functionality where somebody could place an order on your site and then you could provide the curbside pickup service. And, this is something that, was largely unheard of in the pre-COVID days. You would never, if a store was in your neighborhood, you would never think to place the order online and then go pick it up when it was ready. But now it's almost essential for any stores that are trying to open or stay open or continue to do business right now.
Now, for people in the industry, marketing and communications or PR and agencies as well, who have clients who want to get their business online as quickly as possible with an e-commerce functionality, what do you say to those people who are advising clients or even doing the work for clients? What things should they be looking at and considering?
Well, I think the best place to start is to understand how you configure or how you sell your products. And when I go back to the Goalie example, they would sell a training package, and that package would include several weeks of training sessions. And they didn't, because of the way they operate their business, they didn't want to sell a single training session at a time. So although the unit of sale might be a single session, we had to come up with a way of grouping them and managing inventory so that if a certain session was sold in one way, it wasn't available in another package. And so you have to understand really how you're configuring or how you will need to configure your products when you go online, because the digital representation of your physical goods might not be straightforward. Now, if it's a straight, you know, one-to-one mapping, here's a physical good, we're going to sell it exactly the same way online, that might be pretty easy. But then you have to look at the processes around how you do your sales and like you said, the customer journey around things like returns or exchanges or customer service, and understand if the solution that you're moving towards has all of those features and fits the way that you use them.
Yeah, okay. Anything else that they should look at in terms of advising clients or setting up an e-commerce solution? What other things should marketers and agencies be looking at? Is there anything else that comes to mind?
Well, there's lots of other solutions. We've talked about Amazon and Shopify. You know, the solution I built for the Goalie coaching was based on WordPress and the WooCommerce plugin, and that's a pretty viable solution for people that are comfortable operating their own WordPress site and maybe doing a little more hands-on setup and management of the online store. And it also is quite a bit more customizable. So there's, you know, just like WordPress, the WooCommerce service has lots and lots of plugins available to extend functionality and themes available to change the look and feel. Even Squarespace, you know, popular website hosting platform, has a pretty pretty good e-commerce solution. Maybe not as configurable as Shopify or WordPress, but certainly viable for some situations.
Kevin, regarding advertising for a new e-commerce site, you know, where should people be looking first of all, and then how should they be tracking how well that advertising is working for them?
So one of the biggest drivers of traffic is still, you know, Google search, and to a lesser extent, other search engines. But, you know, one of the really important things to do is to get your content indexed by the search engines. And they're, you know, obviously really good at doing this, but there's things you can do to help. And most of these platforms, you know, Shopify and WordPress and all the other platforms, there's ways to get your site indexed much quicker and get your products listed in Google search. When it comes to tracking, you know, Google Analytics is essentially the de facto way of doing this across the industry. And it's, again, something that's pretty easy to set up when you're using your own solution like WooCommerce, or even to plug it into a hosted solution like Shopify or Squarespace. And this gives you the ability to see where traffic's coming from, see and to link it up to your search ads if you're doing search ads in Google search, or even link it up to Facebook ads if you decide that's where you're, you know, that's where your likeliest customers are going to see about or learn about your products, or wherever it is that you feel the best place to advertise is.
That's good. I mean, that touches on the whole area of, you know, making sure that you know where to find your clients, because it's surprising the number of people who set up online businesses and they haven't thought about that. Yeah. So you really have to research where your clients are and then decide to where you're going to spend your advertising dollars or pounds, depending on which country you're in. And in terms of hiring someone, if you're a small business, you're not working with an agency or a marketer, you're going to do this yourself. I would imagine that lots of people might ask for a referral, or they would turn to one of the many platforms out there like Fiverr, Freelancer, or Upwork.com. Is that a good idea? And what should people be looking for when they do connect with someone?
Well, there's certainly lots of people out there that know how to work with these tools. I think one of the biggest challenges is finding somebody who understands your business as a retailer and understands some of the challenges that you may have moving your business online for your particular type of product that you're selling, or the processes that you have established for interacting with your customers, or, you know, doing returns, or, you know, support, customer support. So I think any of those platforms are probably good for finding, you know, potential technology resources or contractors to do this type of work. I know Shopify maintains a listing of developers that are part of their network. So these would be independent developers that can work on Shopify. And I think if, you know, if retailers can get a feeling that somebody is really understanding them and listening to them, that goes a long way to having a successful project. If you feel that somebody doesn't really understand what you're trying to do, or they're trying to simplify it to make it like all their other projects, those are some red flags that would signal maybe this isn't the right person to work with for that project.
That makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, be careful. Don't just base your choice on budget, mm-hmm. which I think is often a mistake. But if possible, have a conversation with the person and make sure that they know that they get what you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin, that's been really useful. A great discussion on what retailers, businesses should be looking for if they decide to get their business online. Thanks so much for sharing everything with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. We look forward to speaking to you again. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.